think that's the biggest part of it. It's unfortunate when news outside of the mainstream gets put out on the internet and it doesn't have accurate information into it. These people that we're putting out, and these are people that I know and talk to. I mean, they'll call me on minuscule things sometimes. I don't know why they couldn't have called me on this and said, hey, I'm going to write a story. They're going to want to write and I understand that, but let's just have facts in it. Let's make sure the public, because I believe the public, you know I do, I've said on your show, the public has a right to know. The public has a right to know exactly what's going on, and I believe let's find out before we write these stories, let's make sure they're accurate. Make sure they're informative, but they're accurate, and they have information that the public can derive their own feelings from.
I've received several emails over the last few days from C.B. Forgotston. Did he talk with you at all?
No, he didn't. And look, I know C.B. I've got his cell phone number, and he's got mine. He calls me on license plates when he sees it from out of state or around the Capitol because he wants to make sure that they're working there. They ought to have Louisiana license plates. It's the law. I get that, and every time he calls me, I follow up on it, and I get back to him immediately. I don't know why he wouldn't have called me on this one. I certainly would have answered his questions, and I think he would have more accuracy in his initial report. So I just believe if people are going to write something or report something, I think that they ought to get the facts from the beginning of it.
Well, Treasurer Kennedy, of course, is making a big deal of this. I see where John Bel Edwards, who's running for governor, is making a big deal of it. He'll be at the press club today, by the way, and he says he's calling for some kind of an investigation. How did the legislative process get involved in this? So what happened to make this a bill and to get it done by the end of the session?
Well, the legislation was available there throughout the retirement process in the legislature, and this was a piece that actually gave the ability to add into it to fix these two areas within the retirement system. Two individuals that were paying into, myself and one other trooper, 32-year trooper, I've been at 34 years. So we're eligible for a retirement system. We're eligible for the benefits that any other trooper gets. So the language was added into it. At that particular time, my staff was working on it. They brought it to me. I said, if this is the process, if this is the way we should do it, this is all how we're supposed to follow it, then I'm all for it. Let's go forward and let's make sure we take care of especially the 32-year trooper, and it also fixes my retirement system. So again, the biggest part of it is I think there was some information that said, you know, you're going to get $30,000 more than you're making. Well, I'd be astounded by that, but it's not true. It's not accurate. I'm not going to
how much is it?
It's what my salary is, $134,000 a year. That's what I've been paying into for as a colonel for 7 years, and that's what I earn as superintendent.
But the benefits, like when you retire,
benefits will be at whatever my salary is,
your current salary.
It may even be a few dollars less than that. I haven't seen the final
number. And you earn $134,000 a year as the
ex-colonel. Yes, sir.
And under the old system,
I actually retire as a captain.
Well, yeah, you
which
would
is considerably less than that, and I would have never reached this. The unfortunate side of it is I've been paying into it. So,
okay, but if you were retiring at captain's pay, how much would that be?
I retired as a captain at that time. It was $79,000 a year.
Okay,
so
we're really talking about $45,000 difference between a captain and.
Well, no, keep in mind when I came out of the job, you go into a job for 3 years, and when you come out, you start accruing more dollars. Okay, you still start earning a little more,
okay.
But you'll never catch back up to where you are. And the part of the legislation, which is why that was changed back then, because it forced people to go and drop or you lost it. Well, that's an unfortunate benefit or not a benefit that you're entitled to and you're paying into. So it's a complicated issue. It's part of retirement. I mean, but the bottom line is I've been paying into it for 34 years. If you look at where the retirement system is today, I would be eligible because I've more than attributed to where I get 100% of my salary. I've more than done that. So that's what this legislation does. It brings it in line with what the process is currently, not what it was back then.
We'll get to some other matters with Colonel Edmondson, and there are many other matters to talk to, but you've been doing this for 34 years. Does it trouble you to have your integrity questioned?
Well, if you hear me talk, I always talk about that. I believe the most important thing on our uniform is this badge and the integrity that comes with it. I mean, I think that's an unquestioned part of who a police officer should be. and what I believe that I am, and I know that I am. I know how I treat people. I know what I've done for people, and I do for people every single day. I know the work that I put in, probably 70, 75 hours a week, and I've been doing that for 7 years. I've done that my whole career. But yes, I think the integrity is the most important thing. This badge is something that you have to earn. It's something that's not just given to you. It's a privilege. It's not a right. And so that troubles me more than anything else, because I understand what it comes with. I understand the expectation of it. But let me tell you something. It doesn't concern me from the integrity part, because let me tell you something. My troopers are my biggest concern. That is more important to me right now. Is not this issue that's been in the news the next last couple of weeks. That's going to work itself out, and I believe we'll be fine with that. I know that I've done the right thing. I'm more concerned about my 50 troopers in New Orleans that are on the streets in New Orleans and what they've been doing. I'm more concerned about the heroin problem in Louisiana. I'm more concerned about the mentoring of our kids as they're growing up. I'm more concerned about the other things that's going on in law enforcement that affect who I think are our greatest assets, and that's our citizens. That's what I'm more concerned about, and that's why I hate the fact that we're pulling away from what the bigger picture ought to be, and that's what we're doing every single day in public safety and state police around the state of Louisiana.
Okay, Mike Wolf asked, did you technically retire when you entered the drop program?
I guess it's explaining what that is, but you do technically say that at that particular time it's called a retirement drop. Then you can come back out of it. At that time it allows you still to come back out and continue working, but you still retire at that particular benefit. That's been changed. So it just so happens there's only two of us left. But that was changed not long afterwards, where other people could actually, the drop wasn't a mandatory deal. You can actually look back 3 years in your career. You can actually look back at your salaries over the years before that. So the bottom line, there was two of us still in the system, a system that was no longer in existence. And what this legislation does is allow us to retire at where we are if we paid into it. And we both have paid in over 30 years, me 34, he 32.
We'll return with Colonel Mike Edmondson after this 90-second pause on WRKF.